Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in the Attic, episode 53. Wilbon, we're going to begin today with something Dan Wetzel wrote in Yahoo, essentially advice to Cam Newton. He says to Cam Newton, do not do what Andy Dalton did. Do not sign on as a backup. His advice was wait until some team needs a starting quarterback because somebody gets hurt or they become dissatisfied with their starting quarterback and they reach out to Cam Newton. That's what he's saying Cam Newton should do. Do you agree with that?
No. No, not at all. I mean, Cam Newton has to find out himself. We forget about what teams know or find out, discover. Cam Newton has to find out whether he can play at the level that he wants to be. I don't even know if he can play at the level he used to be, but he's got to deal with shoulder and foot questions and finding out answers. And you do that by playing. Even if you're just practicing hard every day, if you're taking reps somewhere, Cam Newton needs to be somewhere this entire season, however long that is, from training camp till the end. He needs to be there. Look, he may wind up playing anyway, Tony, get back up, replacing somebody, injury replacement. But no, I would not agree with that advice, not one bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a sense out there that Cam Newton is better right now than he actually is. He was 15-1, and he was the MVP, but that was a while back. And since then, we've seen him be hurt, and we have seen him not be particularly effective. So if Cam Newton is waiting for a circumstance where he can get paid like a guy who was 15-1 in the MVP, I'm not sure that's going to happen. It is being reported that he's open to being a backup. My sense is that what Dalton did, what Jameis Winston did, is they said, we don't know how many games are going to be played this year. We have no idea, but we're going to get paid. We're going to be in the league and we're going to get paid. If Cam Newton were to hold back and say, I'm not going in unless I'm a starter, and he wasn't a starter this year, Mike, I don't think that improves his position for next year. I think it makes it more firmly that he'd be a backup player. So like you, I don't agree with this.
It's taking great risk. If you don't play the whole year, not only do you not make any money, but and I understand Cam Newton not destitute, okay? Cam Newton's been around for a while. He's made some big money. But Tony, if you don't play, not only do you not get paid, you don't find out physically where you are. And Cam Newton doesn't know that. Now, I mean, not from participating at any degree that a pro quarterback, a starter, needs to. So we both agree on that. Tony,
by the way, if he's offered backup jobs and he doesn't want them and he turns them down, at some point, and this happens with coaches, they say, I don't want to get back in right now. And then down the road, they don't get back in because nobody remembers them anymore.
Yeah, so that's right. People wonder. We haven't talked about Richard Sherman in a while, Tony, so let's do. Richard Sherman tells KNBR in San Francisco the Super Bowl loss had nothing to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Sherman said, quote, Jimmy played fine. He did what he was supposed to do. We have to finish that game out. I'm an all-pro player. I have to play all-pro down the stretch, close quote. Tony, you agree with Richard Sherman on that?
Well, first of all, let me say that Richard Sherman is not a guy who hasn't blamed the offensive side of the ball before. Like, he just crushed Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator at Seattle, and I think justifiably.
And
he was never
particularly
supportive of Russell Wilson, if I remember that correctly. So for Richard Sherman to say this is good. Sort of surprising to me. Richard Sherman said it was the defense's fault. It was not Garoppolo's. But there are some statistics that have to be mentioned. In the fourth quarter of that game, Jimmy Garoppolo was terrible. They had a 20-10 lead going into that. He was 3 of 11 for 36 yards, one interception, and one fourth down sack. So you could blame him. I'm heartened by the fact that Richard Sherman did not.
I like the fact that Richard Sherman said, let's look here. Let's look inward. Because the 49ers, Tony, were built in order, defense on defense and running. And Garoppolo obviously had, he was just what they needed with that formula, which I realize is sort of old fashioned at this point. But no, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. Garoppolo didn't play great. The defense, certainly, they had a 10-point lead. They had a double-digit lead. They're supposed to hold on to that. And Richard Sherman's right. Not just him, but that defense let the team down primarily. Tony Garoppolo was further down in the pecking order, in my opinion. But I think this is, you know, if you're Garoppolo, you got to feel pretty good about this, right? When you hear Richard Sherman say this, and hopefully defensive players will follow Richard Sherman's lead because he's a leader.
Okay, so let's examine this for a second. I think that Richard Sherman took the temperature in that locker room, and he feels that team is behind Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think John Lynch did that and Kyle Shanahan did that when they looked at Tom Brady and said, no, we're going to pass on Tom Brady. We're going to stay with Jimmy Garoppolo. You got to take the temperature of the room. It feels to me, Mike, like they like Garoppolo. And again, you're
absolutely
right. They ought to feel good. He ought to feel good about that. Let me move to basketball and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson has apparently tired of the notion that's out there that it's over for the Golden State Warriors. Their championship run is done. That when Kevin Durant left, that hurt him. When Klay Thompson got hurt, when Steph Curry got hurt, that hurt him. And he is now, and he said this in a documentary which is detailing his rehabilitation, I'll just be that eager to prove everyone wrong again. He thinks they're coming back strong. Wilbon, do you agree with Klay Thompson?
Oh, my goodness. I hope so. Tony, I think they'll come back strong. You can come back strong. It doesn't mean you win a championship. In the NBA, Tone, usually, once a team sort of gets to the top of the mountain, is it knocked off or falls off? The Warriors weren't knocked off. They fell off because of injuries. They usually don't get back. An exception to that, a great obvious exception of recent vintage would be the San Antonio Spurs, where they lost and they got past the disappointment, past the heartache, past physical ailments, past age, and they got back all the way to the top and they won it. So the Spurs have done that. Klay Thompson was in the league when that happened, 2013-14, particularly when the Spurs had to come back. I think they can. They have the right executive in Bob Myers. They have the coach in Steve Kerr. They have the culture, the atmosphere, the unselfish star players. They have it all if they have good health. But you got to have good health to start because we saw what happened last year.
So I'm going to just point this out, that before Kevin Durant got there, they went to two straight championships. They won one of them, and the next year they won 73 games with those three guys, with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. To me, you can get back. And I look at the West. I see the Clippers. I see the Lakers. I see Utah and Denver, maybe Houston. Dallas is on the way up. But here's what I think. They got Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant fit in seamlessly because, as you said, they were unselfish with Kevin Durant. Star players see that, Mike. You're telling me there's not a star player out there that doesn't want to go play with those three guys, play for Steve Kerr, play in that spanking new arena and play in San Francisco. You think Antetokounmpo would never do it? You think Doncic would never do it? Because I think they're one guy away from being right on top again.
And they'll have more than one guy, Tony. Not only could they attract somebody next year, but, Tony, they got a lottery pick. It could be a high lottery pick. They could add somebody that gives them sort of that youthful exuberance as well as another star. So, sorry, Clay, I'm not counting you guys out. I am not counting you out at all. I'm not in that camp. Tony, let's go to college football for a second, because Penn State coach James Franklin says that if a few schools in a conference cannot get back on the field because of complications related to the coronavirus, the rest of the conference should not necessarily be penalized. They should be allowed to go forward and play. You going to agree with James Franklin about that?
Well, this brings up a point that you made last week. When we did this story with the SEC, and I said what the SEC is saying to the rest of the country is, we're ready to play, get out of the way. And you said, whoa, this might be within the conference. It, you know, you might have to have eight teams or nine teams play and a couple lay back. So you made that point early. I understand why James Franklin is saying this. He's rated number 9 in the preseason poll. He's ready to play. He wants to play. And he's probably thinking, well, if Ohio State can't play and they're number 2, see ya. Don't need ya. Don't want to have anything to do with it. I think I agree with this sentiment, but I'm not sure it's your conference. I'll yield to you on it.
I agree with this sentiment no matter what the conference is. Last week we talked about the SEC in this way. That was the context. And today it's the Big Ten. I don't care which conference it is. It is, Tony. Look, so much money is at stake here with the football season, you know, and the uncertainty of it. So much money is at stake per school. And, Tony, teams are not, schools are not going to want to say, we're going to take a pass because two or three of our schools can't play. If this is going to result, and, Tony, we're talking about, given all of the factors that come into play with football, the television conference, contract, the gate receipt, all of it, annual giving. We're talking about a couple of $100 million perhaps for a given school. No, I'm not going to say you should not play because these other two schools perhaps are in conditions. Whatever the conditions are, could be their state and what their governor's saying, could be what they feel is best for their institution. I'm not going to say the conference should just take a powder for a season because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you need here is flexibility on the part of the conference. Each school in the major conferences has at least one built-in off week, and they have a couple of built-in patsies. Like Penn State, for example, they've got Kent State and San Jose State. So if you backload the conference season in order to get it all in, if you have that sort of flexibility, you can have a staggered start. I think that's what we're looking for. But I agree with you that if teams are ready to play, you know, economically, they've got to go out and play.
Yeah, it's hard to see anybody taking a conference if they have teams ready, taking a pass this season, if we get the season off at all.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Glasses, legal pad, happies. Here we go. Happy 70th birthday, Randall Tex Cobb. The heavyweight boxer turned actor was ranked in the top 10 and had credible wins over Ernie Shavers and Leon Spinks when he fought Larry Holmes for the WBC title in 1982 at the Astrodome. Cobb was beaten badly and bloodied throughout the 15 rounds. The one-sidedness of the fight so appalled announcer Howard Cosell that it drove him from covering boxing. Cobb jokingly referred to that as his, quote, gift to the sport of boxing, unquote, and further said, quote, if it gets him to stop broadcasting NFL games, I'll go play football for a week too, unquote. Cobb found steady acting work, mostly as a villain in movies and TV shows such as MacGyver and Miami Vice. His most memorable role was probably as the menacing biker bounty hunter in the wonderful film Raising Arizona. In January of 2008, at age 57, Cobb graduated magna cum laude from Temple University in sport and recreation management. And he said of the occasion, quote, it was nice to wear a robe and step up there and not have to worry about bleeding, unquote. These quotes are great.
Tony, they are. You know, it's amazing. And thank God that Randall Cobb survived the beating he took from Larry Holmes. Because I remember that fight. I remember Cosell's. Just how upset he was, and I understood it completely because it looked like Randall Cobb was going to be one of those guys who got carried out of that ring. And then he had this, yeah, this second, yeah, act that, like George Foreman, is fascinating. And big applause for Randall Cobb.
Happy anniversary, Reggie Miller. On this day 25 years ago in Madison Square Garden, Miller got so hot the sprinkler system almost activated. He scored the last 8 points of the game in 8.9 seconds over the last 16.4 seconds to lead the Indiana Pacers to a shocking 107-105 victory over the New York Knicks in game one of their playoff series. Reggie hit two threes and two foul shots. And if you watch carefully, You'll see him push a Knicks player to the ground to get free for the second three. Not that I'm bitter as a lifelong Knicks fan. This is when Patrick Ewing was taking fadeaway jump shots, according to his teammate Charles Oakley. The front row of the Garden at this time was filled with many fancy people, including the omnipresent Spike Lee. After Miller's fantastic explosion of points, he found time to look directly at Spike Lee and laugh at him. Miller had that laugh and the last laugh as Indiana won the series in seven games.
Weren't you at that game on Mother's Day?
Yes, I was.
Weren't you there? Let me just say this.
Yep.
Tony, the further we get away, the more years we go, the greater Reggie Miller is. He had a sense of drama of the moment. He was great. He was a shooter before. Look, they were always, they've always been great shooters in the NBA. But this era that's been ushered in, and we attribute it to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and fine. Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller does not get nearly enough credit for being a great player. I presume you agree with me on this.
I do, but I would also ask you this. Is Reggie Miller the best shooter in his family? Huh? Happy trails to replay review of pass interference in the NFL. You'll remember two seasons ago when the New Orleans Saints got hosed out of a trip to the Super Bowl when the referees failed to call pass interference late in the game against the Rams. So the NFL put in a new rule to review pass interference calls and non-calls to ensure this didn't happen again. The new rule was so awful, so subjective, so time-consuming, and so hated that the competition committee found no support for it, and they will not renew it. Rich McKay, head of the competition committee, told SiriusXM Radio. So now we go back to the old system, Mike, and we await the Saints to get hosed again.
Tony, this is unlike the NFL. The NFL usually says, we're going to wear it on your nose, and you're going to take it, and you're going to like it, because we're the NFL, and we're going to do what we feel we need to do. This act is so unbelievably gutless. It's gutless on the field. It's gutless in the TV replay booth. It's gutless in the boardroom where they decided they can't do this. It's not the rule that's the problem. It's the gutless application or non-application of the rule. The NFL ought to be embarrassed that they can't take a snippet of video and get the call right. Get a guy in the sky. You can put whoever you want out there. But for the NFL to run away like this is one of the more gutless acts administratively in its long storied history.
Two words for you, Mike. Sky what? Judge.
Yeah. One word for you. Amen.